So, you may be all thinking about Christmas and all ready for the lovely stable scene. And here we go, third Sunday of Advent. You come to church and you get hear a reading about you brood of vipers. John the Baptist is not the easiest character. I don't know if I'm the only person that feels that. Anyone else struggle slightly with John the Baptist? Thank you, Jim, for being honest. Yes. He's a challenge, I think. He speaks words of challenge. He's a very passionate man. He knows his calling, and he speaks these words that are not always easy to hear. But what is also wonderful is that he is incredibly practical. We have a reading here where we hear some actual answers. I don't know about you, but often when Jesus is asked a question, we don't get answers. We get maybe other questions, or we get things to think about, or things that we have to interpret a bit more. Or other points in the Bible, road to Emmaus. Sorry, I'll go on about this at Easter as well. The road to Emmaus, Jesus meets with the disciples on the road, and then the Bible says, and then he explained everything to them, starting from the beginning. And give us those words! Wouldn't that be great if actually we heard what Jesus said? Oh, it'd be so much easier. Preachers dream. Instead, we have to interpret. But here, in this reading today, we get a direct question and we get a direct answer. It's incredibly practical. But John starts by insulting everyone that came out to see him. I love that he says, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Well, probably you, John, actually. We're coming to listen to you. You're the one that keeps saying that. We've come to you, and now you're calling us a brood of vipers. Snakes. How else are snakes represented in the Bible? Positively? Negatively? Pretty negatively, yeah. The snake is a serpent, the tempter, the one that tries to oppose God. That's what we have in most of Scripture. So John is calling them snakes, opposers of God's plan. This is not a good way to start. But it seems that what John is doing is he's seen beyond the surface. He's seen beyond what's brought them to him. They've come to him because he said, repent. They're being baptized by him because he says, baptize, repent, be baptized. But he's seeing that it seems to be surface only. They're doing it whilst thinking that they're all right. He's saying, don't think that because you're sons of Abraham, you're all right. It's like saying to us, don't think just because you come to church on a Sunday, you'll be all right. God says, oh, they come on a Sunday. That's all right, you're in, that's fine. No, John's saying, no, it needs to be more. It needs to show in your actions. And then he uses this phrase, produce fruit worthy of repentance. Produce fruit. That means show in your actions, show in your life the fruit, how you live. Show that it's fruit worthy of repentance. Now, I'm going to teach you some Greek this morning. It's always nice when we do a little bit of academic stuff. Some Greek. This word, repentant, that we've translated in this version as repentance, is metanoia. You may have heard that before, I don't know. If you haven't, don't worry. Why would you? Metanoia. We translate it as repentance, which I think is not always helpful because it makes us think it's about saying sorry for sins, for things we've got wrong, and receiving forgiveness for those. We often use repentance in that way. Whereas actually, metanoia is about a change of mind, a change of mindset, perhaps. Or a transformation of your heart in response to something. So actually what John is saying is you need to produce fruit that shows that you have had a change of heart by meeting with God. Because let's just think about who God is for a moment. God is goodness. God is light. God is truth. God is that pure and perfect rightness. Now, when we meet with God, we are then transformed by that love that God has, that goodness that God has, that truth. We are transformed, and we should then live as though we have been transformed. Not just this little private moment. and then we carry on as normal, our whole lives should show that we've had a moment of transformation because we've met with the divine, we've met with the one that is goodness, truth, love. So what John is saying is, it's not just about what you do in terms of religious observance. This is about your whole life should reflect an encounter with God. If that's what you think you have had, your whole life should reflect it. And so then we get the wonderful practical questions from three groups of people. I'm going to just test if you are listening. We'll try and think of who the three groups of people were. Those of you who still have your Bibles open, you obviously have an advantage because you can read it. Can anyone remember the three groups of people that asked, well, what should we do then? Anyone think of one? Soldiers. Soldiers, yes. The soldiers. These would have been people who were oppressing for God's people in that place. They would have been Roman soldiers. And John says to them, they said, well, what should we do then? If coming to see you and being baptized by you is not enough, what should we do? And he tells them, well, don't oppress people. Don't beat people up. Don't try and extort money from them. Look after those who are more vulnerable. That seems quite practical. We can take that on board. If we have power over someone else, do not abuse that power that you have over someone else. Okay, tip. What other group did he talk to? Tax collectors, yes. Those who collected money for the state. Now, it is a practical job, it has to be done. But John says, don't collect more. If you have an opportunity to extort people or even steal, don't do that. Don't do that. If you're in charge of money, if you have a responsibility, don't use it for wrong. Do the job that you're called to do, and don't use it. Do use your authority for wrong purposes. Okay, what about the other group? I love that we've done it in this order. This is perfect. This is a bit more abstract because you might not have noticed it. It's a word that just slips. The crowd, yes. He speaks to the crowd. Now, the crowd in that sense, because he singled out tax collectors and soldiers later, the crowd probably means God's followers, people of God, the Jews in that situation. Yeah, so that's probably who the crowd he's talking to. And he says to them, share where you have in excess. He doesn't actually say give it all away. He says, share. If you've got two shirts, give one of them away. If you are privileged enough to have more than just the essentials, share it with those that don't. That feels a very practical thing that we can also take on board. I love that we have some practical examples of how to live today, but it is more than that. It is more than just telling us this is what we should do, because we have to remember this is not what we do in order to earn our way into heaven. We are not doing this so that God recognizes and goes, oh yes, they're good, you're in. That's not how it works. Do you know what? That forgiveness is already there when we turn to Jesus and we say, please, I want you in my life. We are forgiven. We have a place in God's kingdom already. We then need to live in response. So we produce fruit, we live our lives in response. So all of these very practical ways that John is talking about should come out of that moment of metanoia, that moment of transformation. And I think it sounds like very basic, simple stuff, but I think so often in life we get it the wrong way around and we do things to earn praise, or we do things to earn God's forgiveness, or we do things to earn people liking us. And it should never be that way. It always comes from a place of gratitude of what God has done for us. And it should always be visible in the whole of our lives. I think that is the key thing from today, that word of metanoia, living a life, bearing fruit, having actions in our whole life that show that we have had a change of heart. Something dramatic has happened to us because we've met with the divine We have met with a God of love, and we're going to live in response to that. So today, now in our all-age service, this is a point that we have a moment to take that on board ourselves, not just sit and listen to me rabbiting on, but actually to think about it and ponder it for ourselves. Of course, people learn in different ways and engage with things in different ways, so there's always different ways to respond. Some of you might like to just sit and ponder these words and just think. I have a little colouring sheet, if it helps you to colour whilst you think yourself. And it's just simply ask the question about where do you show in your actions how God has changed you? So whilst you colour, you might want to ponder that yourself. If that's for you, come and grab a colouring sheet. If you like to be more practical and chat and do something whilst you're being more practical, we have a tree here. Some of you will have been part of helping me get the ribbons off it. Thank you very much for that. We're now going to make fruit to decorate our tree. We're turning it into a fruit tree. And whilst you make some fruit and colour some apples, you can write on those apples ways that we can practically show that God has changed us. I have a very simple example of giving money to charity, so helping those who are less fortunate. You can come up with some many more creative ideas than that as we cover our tree with apples. So if you want to come and do that, come and do that. Or you might like to chat with your neighbour. Could we have the next slide, please, Jacob, because then I can just check the words. So when you meet people, do they know that you know God? How would they know that you know God and have met with God? To point, to share some of our story, share some of our lives. Now, we're a lot of us from England, where we don't like to talk about the things that we do. It sounds like we're boasting. If we say we do something kind for other people, we don't like to say it. Well, actually, sometimes we need to share that because that is our testimony. Do you know what? I volunteer for this because I really want to show God's love in that moment. Well, that is really encouraging for someone else. You're not boasting. I just want to put that out there. Maybe that was just my upbringing, but I'm going to put that out there in case someone else is feeling that too. This is the moment to share with each other how you live out your faith. And it is really encouraging. Trust me, I love hearing from other people how they live out their faith. Those of you who want to go deeper, it's not up there, but those of you who want to go a bit deeper, I also encourage you to look at 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, I will just come and check it, but there's a passage in there that if you want to study your Bible a bit more, and these questions don't go deep enough for you, come and ask me and we can look at 1 John together as well, because there's a passage in there that just fits this exactly, so a little bit of intertextual reading there for those of you who like going really deep with your Bibles. Okay, different ways to respond. Let's have some time to go a bit deeper. Think about fruit worthy of repentance.